Welcome to the Gay Geek Bizarre Show, episode 11. It's Sunday, July 10th, 2016. This is Ray. I am recording the show by myself today because Maynard is on his grand tour of Asia, it seems like. He is going to be gone for 2 weeks, so maybe we can get an episode with him next week if he gets back in time. So, but anyway, on with episode 11. I would like to say my heart goes out to the friends and family of all the people that were slain this week. All of it was very senseless, and I'm heartbroken. My favorite quote from this week was, instead of building a wall, maybe we need to build a giant mirror so America can take a good hard look at itself. On to the gay. Well, this week it came out that Sulu is going to be gay in Star Trek Beyond, and it's not a big deal. Well, George Takei has a big deal with it, but I'll read you some excerpts of the article. So this is going to get real geek. This is more of a geek gay thing because it's Star Trek, and well, you know, I'm a big Star Trek fan, so. Or at least Star Trek Beyond is presenting it as like a not a big deal and praying fans follow suit. The news comes from the Australian paper, The Herald Sun, which says that the movie rightfully treats Sulu's private life, in which has a male partner and a child, as no big deal. The daughter had been better be D'Amora, is all I'm saying, because D'Amora is awesome and deserves to exist in the alternate universe too, because all the J.J. Abrams stuff, for a side note, takes place in alternate universe, alternate reality, or alternate multiverse, so. According to John Cho, the decision was, of course, a nod to the original Sulu, everyone's favorite Facebooking dad, George Takei. I like the approach, which was not to make a big thing out of it, for which I hope we are going as a species, not to politicize one's personal orientations, Cho told the Herald Sun. A LGBTQ main character has been missing from Star Trek for decades, depending on how you characterize Jadzia Dax's relationship with the lover of one of Dax's former lives and rejoin, but no such complicated background is at issue here. Sulu's gay, and no one in Star Trek universe judges him for it. Fingers crossed that the fans will respond to this new in a way that the Star Trekkers humanity eventually will. Now, on the other side, George Takei tried to convince the team behind Star Trek Beyond not to make Sulu gay. So while the creative team and the man currently playing Hiroki Sulu, I'll get it right here in a minute, John Cho of Star Trek Beyond may have decided that including a scene of Sulu with his same-sex partner wasn't a big deal, George Takei had a different response. The actor who originated the role told The Hollywood Reporter, "I'm delighted there's a gay character. Unfortunately, it's a twisting of Gene's creation to which you put in so much thought. I think it's really unfortunate." Cho called Takei to tell him about the move, and Takei tried to explain his misgivings. I told him, be imaginative and create a character who has a history of being gay rather than Sulu, who has been straight all this time, suddenly being revealed as being closeted. While Takei's timeline doesn't work out, Beyond is in an alternative universe and a prequel. His point may be that Sulu existed in the public consciousness so long as having him come out in this chronologically late movie seems like he was closeted before. Takei also told The Hollywood Reporter that he had said a similar thing to director Justin Lin, arguing that the best way to honor the 50th anniversary year of Star Trek was to create a brand new character rather than changing an existing one. After his exchange with Lin, he was left feeling that that was going to happen, a feeling that got even stronger when he got a letter from Simon Pegg, the writer of the film, praising me for my advocacy for the LGBT movement and for my pride in Star Trek. It was only when Cho asked what he should do when he was asked about Sulu being gay that Takei realized no change had been made. I really tried to work with these people when at long last the issue of gay equality was going to be addressed, Takei added. I thought after that conversation with Justin that was going to happen. Months later, when I got the emails from Simon Pegg, I was kind of confused. He thinks I'm a great guy? Wonderful. But what is the point of that letter? Interpreted as my words being heard, honestly. The weirdest part of this story is that it was announced that this was in honor of Takei, who desperately didn't want it. A weird way to give nod to one of the original cast members. So, now, Simon Pegg has responded to George Takei, which all this is very interesting considering George Takei is like a leader in LGBT rights and everything, and now all of a sudden, he's, because they made his character in the series gay, he's having an issue with it, which he has his base for that. So, Yesterday, it was revealed that a scene from Star Trek Beyond showed Sulu raising a child with a male partner. The original story by the Herald Sun said that the decision was a nod to George Takei. Then Takei himself said that he thought he had talked to director Justin Lin out of showing a gay Sulu in the movies and that it was just in his eyes, twisting of Gene's creation, and really unfortunate. The Guardian printed a response from Peg, and here's everything of it's printed in the order it's presented in. And this is from Simon Pegg. I have a huge love and respect for George Takei. His heart, courage, and humor are an inspiration. However, with regards to his thoughts on our Sulu, I must respectfully disagree with him. He is right. It is unfortunate. It's unfortunate that the screen version of the most inclusive, tolerant universe in science fiction hasn't featured an LGBT character until now. We could have introduced a new gay character, but he or she would have been primarily defined by their sexuality, seen as the gay character rather than simply for who they are. And isn't this a tokenism? Justin Lin, Doug Young, and I love the idea of being someone we already knew because the audience have a pre-existing option of that character as a human being, unaffected by any prejudice. Their sexual orientation is just one of many personal aspects, not the defining characteristic. Also, the audience would infer that there's been an LGBT presence in Star Trek universe from the beginning, or at least in the Kelvin timeline, and that's the timeline they're going with on the new Star Trek series. That a gay hero isn't something new or strange. It's also important to note that at no point did we suggest that our Sulu was ever closeted. Why would he need to be? It just hasn't come up before. I don't believe Gene Roddenberry's decisions to make the Prime Time Lights Enterprise crew straight was an artistic one, more of a necessity of the time. Trek rightly gets a lot of love for featuring the first interracial kiss on U.S. television, but Plato's Stepchildren was the lowest rated episode ever. The viewing audience wasn't open-minded enough at the time and must have forced Roddenberry to modulate his innovation. His mantra was always infinite diversity with an infinite diversity and infinite combinations. If he could have explored Sulu's sexuality with George, he no doubt would have. Roddenberry was a visionary and a pioneer, but we choose our battles carefully. Our Trek is an alternative timeline with alternative details. Whatever magic ingredient determines our sexuality is different for Sulu in our timeline. I like this idea because it suggests that a hypothetical multiverse across infinite matrix of alternate realities, we are all LGB somewhere. Whatever dimension we inhabit, we all just want to be loved by those we love, and I love George Takei. I can't speak for every reality, but that must surely be true of this one. Live long and prosper. So there are some interesting points here that, one, they're taking on a comic book role type of a multiverse, which is good. I mean, you can do many things, and that was addressed in the series as well as on the movies and stuff of different universes, how things work differently and everything in the multiverse. Because in the multiverse somewhere, I'm straight, got kids, and have a real muscular body. So it's just not this timeline that's happening. In this timeline, I'm a fat bear and gay and doing a podcast. So we'll all see. Maybe with some alternate reality, when all that happens, I'm gay and I'm president of the United States. Who knows? So anyway, what are your thoughts on this? Where do y'all come down on one of the main Star Trek characters all of a sudden becoming gay, even though they're trying to present it that he's always been this way? And one of the leading LGBT rights activists, George Takei, is not okay with this. So let us know your thoughts. On to the geek. Well, this week, the United Nations decided that the internet is now a basic human right. People may joke that others spend too much time on the internet, but this intricate series of tubes has become an important part of everyday life, so much so that it's become a human rights violation to take it away. That's according to the United Nations Human Rights Council, which passed a non-binding resolution in June that condemns countries that intentionally take away or disrupt its citizens' internet access. The resolution was passed last Friday, but was opposed by countries including Russia, China, Saudi Arabia, South Africa, and India. The issue was with the passage that condones unequivocally measures to intentionally prevent or disrupt access to our dissemination of information online. More than 70 states supported the resolutions, according to a statement released by an Article 19, a British organization that works to promote freedom and expression of information. Thomas Hughes, the executive editor of Article 19, wrote, "We're disappointed that the democracies like South Africa, Indonesia, and India voted in favor of these hostile amendments which weaken protections for freedom of expression online and human rights-based approach to providing and expanding internet access based on the state's existing human rights obligations. It's essential to achieving the agenda of 2013 for sustainable development, and no state should be seeking to slow this down." So it's also, you know, I think this is a very interesting thing. So in some countries, internet access is controlled, state monitored, and mostly state propaganda in a way. I know stuff from America gets blocked in other countries and vice versa. So I think it's interesting that they're taking this approach that that internet's a basic human right now. It's along with water, a house, shelter, food. So this is a new development on the technology of our time, I think. What do you guys think about it? How do y'all feel about internet being a basic human right? And could you live without the internet today? I know some of the 20-year-olds I hang around with definitely cannot live without the internet. In fact, their biggest gripe is they've used up their data plan and can't get more until it renews. So we'll see how that goes. But let us know what you think. The next geek thing that we have this week, and I'm just going to talk about it briefly, is this is the last thing Japan's lost black hole satellite saw before it died. Earlier this year, Japan launched a groundbreaking black hole monitoring satellite, only to lose control of it almost immediately under strange circumstances. Now we can finally see what Hitomi did right before it died. Researchers expected to see teeming activity in the center of the cluster, but Hitomi's final X-ray observations showed very little actions. The intergalactic cluster gas is a quieter than expected, a co-author, Adrian Fabian of Cambridge University to Gizmo. "We expected that the level would be higher based on the activity of the central galaxy. But the finding isn't just a surprising oasis of calm in a turbulent galaxy. It also gives us insight into just that role that black holes play in galaxies and how they do or do not form." So basically, black holes very effectively control the growth rate of galaxies. So here's my question. Is staring on black holes and trying to figure them out going beyond our reach? Is the black holes the plan of God to create the universe? Or are we going to just have another experience where it's just a bad technology that we used to launch a satellite that didn't work? So very interesting, though, that the findings on this, that the satellite unfortunately didn't work that long, but it also didn't get more information. But it did give us enough that says that black holes do more than what we thought they did, or do less than what we thought they did, but it actually does more. So your thoughts on the process of what black holes do? Okay, on to the bizarre. The official studio... The official studio Ghibli hamburger is pitch black. You know, you've been waiting. I'm sure I have. And here we are, an official studio Ghibli burger. This is a Makaru burger, or pitch black burger, and it takes its name from the Makaru Kurosuki, the suit sprites from the studio Ghibli films like My Neighbor Totoro. Starting July 7th, a Ghibli art exhibit will open at Tokyo City View, which overlooks, well, the city. Natalie reports that the museum's restaurant will be serving up a special Ghibli-themed food, such as the previously mentioned burger and poached eggs on toast from the castle in the sky. So, if you are a big fan of the studio, you can go to Tokyo and have some of the food from the anime that they've done. So, that is a pretty interesting take on things. I think that life imitating art, that now people are going and taking these things that are created in art and putting them into life, much like the butterbeer from Harry Potter, which you can get at Universal Studios. I think that's the only place you can get it right now. So what do y'all think? What other things would y'all like to see come to fruition from comic books, comics, or storylines or books that you've read, food-wise, that you would kind of like to see in real life? I know there's a Star Trek cookbook, Neelix's cookbook, that I have that had some interesting recipes in it that they used to make some of the odd-looking food they had on the show. What do y'all think? Okay, unless you've been living under a rock this week, everybody's playing Pokemon, except for me. Of course, I get corrected all. I've been being corrected all week that Pokemon, and they're like, "No, Mon." So even though I'm just doing it to intentionally aggravate some people, so but for the past few days, Pokemon Go has been released, which is very much a geocaching site game, which seems very interesting. I know all my friends that play those games are heavily into it right now and been having a great time. But one of the unexpected things was that one of the teens playing Pokemon Go finds a dead body. For the past few days, Pokemon Go has been tricking us into exploring parts of our hometowns we'd never normally go. But for Riverton, Wyoming resident Shayla Wiggs, her quest to catch them all resulted in stumbling across a dead guy in a river. Country 10 reported, Wiggins, 19, was staying with her mother for part of the summer in the B&K Mobile Home Park and followed the in-game map towards the Wind River in order to catch some water-type monsters. Jumping over a fence to get there, while along the river shore, she spotted something dark and mostly submerged, which she eventually realized was a human body. The Fremont County Sheriff's Office are, according to a press release, investigating the death of an adult male located under the Wyoming Highway 789 bridge around 8:40 a.m. They believe the death was accidental and have not yet positively identified who the person was. Pokemon Go has already directed people towards graveyards and churches, but the tale Wiggins of Yell County is orders of magnitude weirder. Gizmo was unable to contact Wiggins or the officers who were involved immediately securing the scene. We'll update it as we hear back. So what do y'all think about Pokemon Go? I mean, not only does it lead you to catch monsters, it also helps you find dead people, which is a very sad thing to say or happen, and I'm sure a very scary one. But in your treks doing Pokemon Go, what other things have y'all run into interesting? I know a friend of mine, he plays another geocaching game, and he was out in the middle of nowhere a couple of weeks ago after all the floods here in Texas and ran upon a dog that was in the middle of a swamp area that probably got washed or swam there, and now he has a new pet dog. So at least a variant. So what interesting things can Pokemon Go lead to? Special thanks to Caesar for posting great articles on our Facebook page. Sorry, for some reason this week, there's a lot of double posting on there because me and Caesar are posting the same stuff, but that's because when I go look at the page, nothing's there. And then I go post it and all of a sudden it's updated. I noticed a lot of that was happening this weekend, and even logging in here at home, the page wasn't updated correctly. So I've been trying to figure out what's going on with Facebook, but sorry about the multiple posts on the same topics. If you want to follow us on Facebook, you can go to facebook.com/GayGeekBazaar, which all our articles usually come from, and get posted there. You can comment or send us links to post your articles that you find. If you want to contact the show and comment on an article or send us some information, you can email us at show@gaygeekbazaar.com. Or you can call and leave us a voicemail, which we love to play on the show, at 281-947-2327. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're now on SoundCloud and Google Play. Soon we'll be in iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Go to the official website, gaygeekbazaar.com. Thank you all, and hopefully Nard will be back safely with us all next week so the show won't be as boring as it is when I do it. So everybody have a good week. Keep your heads up and stay sharp.